It's been a crazy week since our debut, and Soap is back. Back for seconds.
The Spoils of Akron podcast.
Soap!
Alright,
dude. So, everything I just said in that theme song was 100% true. I'm banging my pen over here. We've had a crazy week. Crazy week since our debut last.
Why was it so crazy?
Because in the span of like 2 days, we created a Facebook page. Yes. That got over 100 likes.
Holy crap!
then we created an Instagram, a Twitter. We went from that, and then we got a website, and now we're on iTunes.
That sounds pretty good. And we're on iTunes.
We are on iTunes.
We joined the iTunes family.
My face is on iTunes. Half of my face is on iTunes.
The other half of my face is on iTunes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just been crazy. We're back in the library. We're here with our producer, Mr. Chris Miller. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, we have one live audience member.
Our first live podcast.
Woo! Mr. Benjamin Rexrode from Wandering Aesthetics is sitting in, watching, listening intently.
So listen for the laugh track, which is just Benjamin.
Yeah. Do you hear that? Our first live laugh.
Woo! That was a high five. Hey, by the way, I'm Ben.
Oh, yeah, I'm Ryan. We keep forgetting to do that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And we have very distinct voices.
People can tell.
It makes it perfect for us to do this medium.
You have a deep, gravelly voice. One of my friends that I sent the podcast to, she lives in Michigan. Her name's Gwen. I'm going to give her a shout out. I met her at Comic-Con. She was dressed as Raven. It was awesome. Anyways, she said, Ben has a really sexy voice. Is that weird? And I go, Gwen, that's not weird. I think he has a sexy voice.
Can I meet Gwen? No.
I do. I think, like, did you ever listen to your own voice?
I have. I don't like it.
And you don't like it?
Nah, I don't care for it.
See, I love your voice, and I kind of love my own voice, but I think that's more of a narcissistic thing.
I feel like most people don't like their own voices. They hear their own voice, and it doesn't sound... When they hear like a recording of it, it sounds different than if they
Hear
it. Yeah.
Can you hear your own voice?
In my ears right now, yes.
But because we have headphones on.
Right.
But what I mean is, when you're just talking with someone, do you actually hear your own voice?
Yes, that's how you talk.
But what I'm saying is, do you hear it coming out? Like, do you ever feel like it's just the noise inside your head that you hear?
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about.
Like sometimes
Benjamin's nodding.
Sometimes I feel like when I'm talking with someone, I'm not hearing, like I could talk with my mouth closed and I could still hear what I'm saying in my head. Does that make more sense? Like, am I hearing actual voice or am I hearing my vocal cords?
Probably both.
Okay, that's both. What I mean.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just feel like all I hear is my vocal cords and not actually my own voice.
Yeah. Okay, we talk a lot about doing a podcast.
Yes,
and that would be interesting if our podcast was about podcasting.
Yeah, all we talk about is the setup for podcasting, how we podcast.
Well, I'm sure those exist, but let's move on to
things.
All right. Not that I'm cutting
you
off.
Can we come back to this topic, please? About the voice inside my head.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Sure. Let's come back to that.
All right. What do we want to do? Promote some stuff coming up?
Well, there's a couple events coming up that we wanted to give some shout-outs to. Next Thursday on March, I believe, 26th, is down at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Akron on Market Street. There will be a Theater of the Oppressed workshop. And what's going to be happening down there, it's some free training, theater-based activities. It's to help people overcome oppression, and so you can get the audience involved. And we were told by, we were asked by Mr. Benjamin Rexrode to send out a shout out to it. And it seems like a fun idea, a fun event. I think I'm going to make you go, Ben. I think I'm going to drag you down there.
That sounds cool.
I know sometimes you hate being on stage. Sometimes I really,
it sucks so much.
Another shout out that we want to give out, and this is kind of some selfless promotion.
Selfish.
What?
You said selfless.
I'll take it both ways. Next Friday night, Ben and I are in a band, actually, ladies and gentlemen. I know, right? But our band, Copper Pennies, is playing at the Market District.
That's right.
On Friday night from 6 to 9. So if you're not doing anything, if you want to come see Soap up on stage and Ben and myself play, now we got to bring a bar of soap and put it up on stage with
right.
us. We'll be playing at the Market District in Portage Crossing, so you can come see us then.
Mm-hmm. The brand spanking new Giant Eagle
nice.
Market
and
District.
They love us there.
It's so big.
It's huge.
It's awesome.
How big is it?
Don't do this to me.
You're bad at these jokes.
I'm so bad. Okay, and then I guess this isn't really an event, but it's just something I've been personally interested in. Because I've never checked out the Nightlight Theater, and I guess it's right here on High Street.
It's right down the road.
Yeah.
It's right across, what is that, Market? It's right across Market Street on the same road as the library.
Okay, yeah, very cool. Well, they are currently playing Leviathan and Timbuktu. I haven't heard of Timbuktu.
Me neither.
But I've been wanting to see Leviathan.
Okay, what's Leviathan about?
I have no idea.
What?
No, well, I know it got nominated for Best Foreign Film at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. It didn't win. Ida won, and Ida's an awesome film, and it's on Netflix. But Leviathan, I haven't seen. And I think they said it's loosely based on the story of Job from the Bible.
Okay.
Because Leviathan is like a mythical creature that mentioned in the book of Job.
So, oh, they say that in Atlantis, that cartoon movie.
When really?
He does. He goes, when Milo's given the big presentation, he goes, the sea serpent, it's mentioned in the book of Job. And then Vinny, the Italian guy who blows stuff up, he's like, I think I would have a white wine with that.
Hmm.
I love that movie. Do you know who directed that movie?
No, who?
To bring this back to, because, not really. No, I guess it does bring it back to last week. I think we were talking about Much Ado About Nothing.
We were.
Joss Whedon directed the newest, the movie version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Joss Whedon wrote Atlantis.
But who directed Atlantis?
I don't.
See, now we're doing this again where we're just giving out false information and we don't know things.
Speaking of false information, we got a couple things that we gotta fix from last week's podcast. It is not Michael Sheen, it's Martin Sheen.
Right.
Who is the father of Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
We were stuck on your middle name.
And then the other thing is we found out what Akron Arrows meant. Jason Messer on Facebook, a little shout out there, he said that the term arrow is a nod to the Goodyear blimp history of Akron, aeronautics. It still doesn't explain why it was a red cat.
Yeah.
Because Arrow was a red cat running around.
No, well, his name wasn't Arrow. His name was Orbit.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
But why? But shouldn't he have been like a blimp?
A blimp mascot? That would be...
Like a human blimp?
That would be very, very upsetting.
Just a guy running around in a blimp
suit?
That'd
be so sad. But yeah, thank you, Jason Messer, for that little tidbit of information.
I mean, just thank you to everybody who's been... posting on the Facebook page and on the links we've been sharing. Your feedback means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. However you're listening to this, if you're listening to one on our website, on Podbean, or if you're listening to it on iTunes, whichever way you are currently listening to this right now, please like and subscribe to our pages and give us some feedback because that's, you know, we love our fans, and I say fans even though we've only been doing this for a week. But we want to engage with you guys, and you guys can send us information about events and stuff that you want to promote. So please, if you guys have anything, just post it on our Facebook page. Send us a message. We got a Twitter and an Instagram now.
We do. What's our Twitter and Instagram handle?
Isn't it?
You don't know it.
Spoils of Akron?
It is at Spoils of Akron.
That's what it is.
All one word. Mm-hmm. Uppercase, lowercase, don't matter.
Yeah.
At Spoils of Akron. On Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
We have an email account, spoilsofakron@gmail.com.
Right.
You don't need to use it. No one really emails anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's just for, you have to have an email to sign into everything now.
Yeah. What else do we have? We're on Podbean, which is where we're hosting our podcast.
We went through a couple different ones first. Well, we were looking at a couple different websites before we chose Podbean. But I think it ultimately came down to was the bit rate, right? The bit rate.
It's just like being limited because we're not as limited on Podbean.
Right.
And it comes with a website, and you can find that at spoilsofakron.podbean.com.
Yep.
Spoilsofakron.podbean, podbean.com.
Yes. All right. All right, now let's move on to some current news that's going on in Akron. Ben's got a story he pulled up that he wanted to talk about.
I do. This is kind of heavy hitting, but I wanted to bring it up because...
You know, we can be funny and we can be serious here on Soap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one is... it's not... I wanted to bring it up last week since it's more recent than... This particular article that I'm looking at right now is from March 13th. So it's about a week and a half ago. But there was... at Akron U... A professor in the women's study program, Professor Kara Kavarin.
They do give out her name.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I completely butcher her name. Kara Kavarin, right there.
I don't know how to say that.
But someone posted some offensive material,
horrible threats on her door.
On her, you know, I'll have to look at it again. I'm not sure if it was her. Oh, bulletin boards in the commons area.
Right.
It was targeted at her. There were some rape threats. There was some pornographic material, pornographic flyers. It also shared some of her personal information, including her home address. And
has anybody been found yet?
No. Well, she said this. This is a quote from her. Though I would prefer to maintain some privacy during the investigation, I'm appealing for the public's help in identifying the person or individuals responsible for this crime. As a professor whose mission is to educate about issues of gender equality, I'm horrified to be personally targeted by threats of this nature. So I haven't seen any news that they did find this person, but I feel like as a source of media, you know, we have a bit of a platform to sort of share that, and a responsibility to sort of share that.
And this is some serious stuff. This isn't funny. It's not a game. These are big threats. This is really, really crazy stuff that they posted. I mean, do they give out the details of what was actually posted, or they just...
I haven't seen it. I didn't really want to look for it.
I know.
So, it's just... I mean, I'm going to assume that, you know, Professor Kara Kavarin, she's part of feminism. She's a feminist, right?
Right.
And I feel like a lot of times feminists in particular get a bad rap amongst a lot of very insecure men.
Okay.
I'm being very opinionated right now.
No, that's fine.
But this is important to me too. I consider myself a feminist too.
Okay.
But you know, it's all about gender equality, and I feel like whenever sort of a woman puts herself out there and you know defends her gender and defends feminism, there's a lot of backlash from, I guess, what they call meninists now.
Meninists?
Yeah, it's a real thing. It started out years ago, actually, as a pretty good thing.
Did it start out where? Where did it start out?
I think it started out something on the internet. I don't know. I was just researching it a little bit right before we came here.
Okay.
But it started out as a pretty good thing where a bunch of men were tired of... the stereotypes that
manly men
are aggressive, they have uncontrollable desires and things like that, men are responsible for a lot of wars and things like that.
Yeah.
So they were kind of tired of stuff like that, and so they were trying to let's be responsible for our actions and not be ridiculous, So it started out as a good thing, but now it's sort of turned into this reaction against feminism.
Yeah, it kind of got to that, from what you're saying to me, it kind of got to that point where it started out, as most things do, it started out as a good thing, and it ended up being a bad thing.
Yeah.
It started out for a good cause. It started out for, hey, look, we're not all men are horrible, horrible monster people, and it ended up almost becoming that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well... It's just mostly about how men just didn't want to feel like they had to be aggressive or domineering in order to be considered manly, you know? And I don't think that's what being a man is, you know? Absolutely not. And so yeah, that's a good thing. But now, like I said, you know, it's turned into this reaction against feminism. I feel like feminists get, they're not understood.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the times, you know, how do I put this?
Use your words.
Yeah, right. So feminists.
Listen, you can wave your arms around at me all you want. Mm-hmm. The audience can't see that. You got to use your words, Ben.
Okay, so right now there's this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben is standing up in his chair. I'm just joking.
I'm standing up. Okay, so there's this gender inequality going on where men are up here, up above.
Okay. He is now using his hands and going
at a
level.
I'm sure I can get context clues. And then women are sort of below, and you know, they're not paid as much in the workforce,
yes.
So less likely to get hired. They're treated wrongfully in the workforce as well. You know, they get rape threats from students or somebody, I don't know. And then,
do you think it was a student?
I think I'm just assuming that. I don't know. Okay. I have no idea. And so I guess what meninists are afraid of is that feminists are trying to take the men being up here and the women down below and switching it and putting women up above and men down below.
Where we all should be at the same level, they're afraid that it's going to switch.
Yeah, men, I think, you know, get so threatened by that. That, you know, these women are trying to, you know, take over and trying to turn the tables when actually it's feminists just want gender equality.
Right.
Which, I mean, is sort of just getting rid of that spectrum altogether, the balance scale and altogether, and saying, listen, your gender has nothing to do with your value. You know, your gender doesn't define who you are as a person. It doesn't define your abilities and what you're capable of. And so that's what feminism really is. And it's not about, you know, making women stronger than men. I feel like it's sort of been seen that way.
There is a meninist Twitter account.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also some funny ones where they sort of make fun of meninists.
And, oh, okay. That's always the best when there's a serious cause.
I think it's at oppressed white male or something like that. It's
I need men. Okay, check this out. I need meninism because the movie Magic Mike promotes an unrealistic expectation of how men's bodies should look.
Well, see, even that, like most of the time when men feel oppressed in quote unquote
now
oppressed,
ladies and gentlemen, he's doing quotation
right
marks.
When men feel oppressed, it's not because of feminism, it's because of the male dominated society.
Do you think that started at a caveman level?
See, that's one thing I've been contemplating, because like, I mean, men typically are physically stronger than women.
Yes.
There was a video I saw a while ago where they had actors come out and just go out onto the street. It was a guy and a girl, and they would have the guy act like he was beating up the girl.
I saw this.
Okay, right. You saw this, and people they'd see how people reacted.
Yeah.
And then they switched it, and they had the girl beating up the guy, and they saw how people reacted. People intervened when the guy was beating up the girl.
Yep.
But when the girl was beating up the guy, it was, people were laughing.
Yeah.
There were women that were, or people just walking by and sort of cheering. There was one girl who's like applauding it, because, I mean, they interpret it as, well, this guy probably
he's
deserved,
a scumbag.
He
he's
probably
did something wrong.
Yeah.
And she's taken it into her literally her own hands.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, meninists, would look at that and say, well, look how unfair this is, that women can get away with this stuff and we're seen as these awful monsters. But really, it's the reason that people don't intervene when the woman is beating up on the man is because they don't believe that she could actually do any damage to him, any physical harm to him. That they believe that the man would be able to defend himself.
Right.
Right. Does that make sense?
So no, it does make sense. And I get what you mean. It's it's almost like a double standard. Mm-hmm. In a way that you want the woman to defend herself, but you don't know what she's defending herself against.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want the guy just to get himself beat up because he's got a crazy woman, or because he's crazy or something. It's a weird double standard. Mm-hmm. And like that video is like perfect. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it shows.
We can post it on the Facebook.
We could. We'll post it. We'll
if
set,
we find
we'll,
it. Yeah.
We'll find the link and we'll definitely post that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's what I'm getting at when I say like.
But to bring all this back to this story that we brought up about these horrible threats posted.
I closed the window. I don't know why I did that, but yeah. So it's, you know, it might have been a reaction.
It's something that even happens here in Akron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's something that happens here in Akron.
In your own backyard.
Gender inequality is
it's everywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you know anything about this, I know we're kind of talking about this kind of late.
And listen, even if you don't need to contact us, but if you know something about it, you know, contact the security at Akron U, contact the police, tell someone about it, because this is a real serious issue.
Yeah, yeah, and don't do it yourself. Don't be a jerk.
Let's
all love.
You know, that's the final. That's the ending line to the story is don't do it.
It's my mantra for life. You know, just
don't do it.
Don't be a jerk. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So yeah, that's that. Let's see. Did you have any news or anything you wanted to talk about?
I did want to go back to some of the stuff we were talking about last week. I just wanted to move on from some of the topics that we were talking about that we didn't get a chance to actually finish. Now, last week it was supposed to be Ben and I talking, but I talked so much that I ended up just asking Ben a whole bunch of questions, and I wanted to get back to some of them because I still want people to know about us. You know, this is supposed to be a personal podcast. We want our audience to know about us, and it's not just two sexy voices talking over their.
There's that laugh track again.
Yes. It's not just two, you know, awesome, amazing voices, you know, purring through your eardrums right now. We want them to know about us. So last week I talked a lot about you and asked you a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you want to ask me? Because I didn't really give you a chance last week.
Yeah. Well, you actually came prepared, right? You had questions prepared for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that. And I still didn't do that. But I feel like I, can ask you a few questions.
Okay, go ahead. Shoot. I'm an open book.
Well, okay.
comic
so
book.
You grew up in Kenmore.
Yes. You came to my parents' house yesterday.
Visited your childhood home yesterday.
You did. We went and found the Ryder Dairy Cow. So,
yeah.
And it's right next to my house. So you came over and I showed you my house, and my mother was deathly afraid.
We don't need to talk about that.
What? She just was like, my house is a mess.
Don't talk about it.
I love you, Mom. She knows that.
Okay. So, yeah, I got to see your house, and that was cool. And then you went to Coventry?
I did.
High school?
I started there in fourth grade is when I started at Coventry. And it was open enrolled.
Well, where did you go before Coventry?
Well, before Coventry, I did go to Kenmore for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I went to Redeemer Christian School in the Falls for, I think, 2 or 3 years. And then we went to Coventry. We open enrolled.
And then you stayed there all through high school then?
Yep, and graduated.
Okay. Cool. And then, like, what happened in between you graduating and now, I guess?
Okay, so in college, in high school, I actually went to college. I open enrolled for my last 2 years of high school.
Oh, post-secondary?
I did.
Yeah.
And I went to Stark State, and I was going to become a firefighter.
Really?
I never told you this?
No.
I was going to be a firefighter. Now, the reason why is my great-grandfather, George Watkins, was the fire chief in Barberton for like 30 years.
Wait, do you need a college degree to be a firefighter?
Here's the thing. No.
Okay.
What you need in the state of Ohio to become a firefighter is you have to be a licensed paramedic, which to become a paramedic, you have to have a degree.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
So I was going to school to become a paramedic because I wanted to be a firefighter. Thing that happened was I wasn't very good at the paramedic part, and I never became a firefighter.
What makes someone want to be a firefighter? Like, I don't understand. I wouldn't want to run into a burning building.
Really?
No, I just... Is that like why you want to be a firefighter? Is that part of the thrill? Or
no,
is it?
No. It's not less of a thrill and more of I wanted...
To help people.
I did. Or, yeah. And I know that's super cliche, but I wanted to help people.
I want to help people.
But it was also... I don't know. I could say it was the thrills, mm-hmm. but I don't want people to think that's what it was.
Yeah.
But it was, it's public servants. You're being a public servant. Just don't laugh at me. but I just wanted to help people. Like after mm-hmm. that didn't work out, I thought about becoming a cop, and I thought Officer Dyke was not the best, you know.
Officer Michaels.
I would have to go by Officer Michaels.
Right, absolutely.
So during my junior and senior year, I went to Stark State.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year afterwards, I went to college after high school. And then I rode on the ambulance. I stuck people with needles. I learned how to birth a baby.
Did you like literally stick and
yes.
people with? Wow.
Yep.
How was that?
Well, you practice for about 6 weeks on a dummy before they even let you near a real person.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was fun. I did a lot of butt shots where you stick people with needles in the butt.
Oh.
Like stuff like that. I drew blood a couple of times, but I did more of just giving people shots, and most of the time it was in the butt. So yeah, I worked at Barberton Hospital. I worked in the ER for
a while.
Did you
actually deliver a baby?
No, I never delivered a baby. I know how to. I really do. I know you have to turn the head a certain way to come out, and then you have to turn it another way to get the shoulders out, and then it just all comes out.
My sister's having a baby soon.
Hey, I always... Really?
Yeah.
Well, tell her...
She's down in Georgia, I mean...
Listen, tell her that if she wants some... she doesn't need to go to a doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, that stuff's expensive. The hospital, I can just do it in, like, the back of a van or something.
Okay, this is not true. We're not...
No, we are not promoting this right now. But, no, I did. I learned how to do all that. I watched all the videos. And I always, at my girlfriend at the time, I asked her, I said, would you let me, if we got married and we had a baby, would you let me deliver? And she said, no. No way, Ryan.
Aww.
I was like, why not? She's like, because, honey, I love you, but I'd rather you have you up at this end than down at that end. You know, like up there helping her and, like,
that's what I mean.
While she's and then have like the trained professionals down there.
Well, you were a trained professional.
I mean, I was trained, but yeah. You know, there's a difference. Well,
that's interesting. That's something I didn't know about you. So, did you go to college after high school at
For
all?
For 1 year.
Okay.
I did. That was when I did my clinicals, and I rode with New Franklin. I rode with Norton a bunch, and then I worked at the Barberton Hospital. You had to do hours. You had to do so many hours before they. Because there's three different levels to being a paramedic. There's basic, intermediate, and actual paramedic. I was a basic. I never got my paramedic license. And at basic, you're allowed to – that's why. Because at paramedic, you're not allowed to draw blood. You're allowed to shoot people with needles.
With needles.
So I was. I was a basic. And then I never made it to the next two levels.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So
I did.
What happened then? Or is that you want to talk about it?
I can talk about it. Sure. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And when I rode with the guys, it's a hard lifestyle. You know, I give kudos and shout outs to anybody who can do that for a living.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours on, 48 hours off. You have to get up in a second,
mm-hmm.
and like be out the door in a minute and a half. And I mean that, you know, I do that for work most of the time, but it's an intense lifestyle.
Like you're on call, like
yeah,
for the 24 hours.
You're away from your family that 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an intense lifestyle. It's a very, I don't know if this is the right way to say it. It's very much a, I don't want to say manly man, because that's not what I mean, but it's very much a, and it needs to be, it's a very much I know more than you atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it should be. It should be.
When you say that, you mean like you know more than the patient?
No, than the other medics. Like another medic might be like, you're doing that wrong. And he's not saying that because he's being a jerk. He's saying that because he knows the better way to save this patient's life.
Okay.
Or to help him out. And you just have to, like I said, it's really intense and you just have to be listening. And, you know, blood and guts and stuff, I saw some crazy stuff, Ben. I saw a lady's finger come off and we sewed it back on. It was awesome.
We're going to need an explicit rating on this episode.
But I just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I did. I dropped out and I never finished. I got all the way up there. I had like three more classes to do, and I just I quit. I just couldn't do it anymore. Hmm.
So you didn't like consider switching to something else, or okay?
No, because at the time I didn't know what else I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still work a 40-hour a week full-time job. I'm a machinist now.
Mm-hmm.
I work in a machine shop over in Talmadge, and I've jumped around from different factories and machine shops since then, and. I don't want to do that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, here's something I've been thinking about.
Okay.
Is like when people ask you, hey, what do you do? You know, like your answer might be, I'm a machinist, or like.
Right.
Our go-to answer is what we do for a living, right? When people ask us what we do, we say what we do for a living, how we make our money. But you being a machinist, that's not who you are, right?
That is what pays the bills and the rent most of the time.
Yeah, because you do a whole lot of other stuff other than being a
machinist. I do. I like to keep busy. My days are usually packed. I eat takeout a lot. I fall behind on my TV shows. I do. I like to keep moving.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to stop. Since high school, I've had 5 different full-time jobs, and that was that was 4 years ago. Graduated 2010. So it was 5 years ago. I've had 5 different full-time jobs.
Wow.
Full times.
So I probably had more than 5 since high school, but they have all been part-time.
I mean, I've had about 6 or 7 part-time jobs since then.
Okay.
Those are just, I've had 5 like full, that's where my taxes are done. I get paychecks from those people, jobs that I worked at.
So is that part of like your, where you want to keep moving and you want to keep, you know, not like switching around? But
no, where I'm at right now, I like the hours. I work 6 to 2, which is nice. You know, I have to wake up early and I have to go to bed a little bit early. But at 2 o'clock, I'm out and free for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me the access, the opportunity to actually go out and do theater and do music and come do the podcast and go do comic cons and do all this different stuff that I love to do, that if I was working a second shift, if I was working a third shift, I can't do any of that.
Yeah.
I did work night shift for a while. It was horrible.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
it was
I would not like
horrible.
That.
I worked 7 to 7.
Oh yeah.
12 hours.
Yeah.
7 to 7 PM to 7 AM.
I had a job like that once. Well, it was like a wilderness boy camp.
Okay.
Boys camp for like troubled teens.
Okay.
And
where was
like,
this at?
This was in Georgia.
This
was my senior year of college.
A lot of woods in Georgia.
Yeah, there are. But we got to sleep. We had to work overnight, but it was pretty much to like make sure these kids don't
you
run
just
away.
Had to watch the kids and stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes like if kids were on like suicide watch or something, we'd have to stay
Did
awake.
Did you guys ever have any scares, anything?
Gosh.
Anything
we,
like that?
We, right when I started working there, a kid actually did run away.
Did they find him?
No.
What?
Well, they did, but he was like already almost 18 anyway, where he was old enough to make those decisions anyway. So they didn't really go after him. They went after him for a little bit, but like once he's 18, it's really...
They can't do anything.
Yeah.
He's an adult.
Yeah, he's an adult. He can make his own decisions. So, that was like right once I started working. I never even met the kid. was a thing. He ran away before.
No hiccups after that. It was smooth sailing.
Well, I mean, you know, there's the kids that really act up. We had a few kids on suicide watch.
How do you, as an instructor, as the person in charge, get ready for something like that? I mean,
like, get ready for.
Is there training, or is it just like you seem like a nice person? How about you come watch some kids who might kill themselves?
No, I mean, like, we were interviewed. Oh, jeez.
What?
We were interviewed.
Suicide. You know what I mean.
Yeah, we had CPR training. We had, I don't remember what the exact term is, but we learned how to restrain the kids.
Okay.
So
chokehold techniques.
Never chokeholds.
Arm so bar.
Yeah, yeah, we
the
learned.
The Vulcan neck pinch.
Yeah, we did not learn the Vulcan death grip. Is the official name.
That's what it is?
The Vulcan.
Such a nerd.
No, my dad's really into really into Star Trek. But now we're talking about me again.
I know. And I can't help myself.
No, that's my fault because I sort of started us on
take
this.
Reins.
Okay, but yeah.
I'll pass it back.
So you were working a night shift, or did you work the night shift?
I did, and I was working a part-time job at the same time.
Oh,
so
no.
This is what the hours, this is what my days were like.
Mm-hmm.
From 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., I worked at a factory at night. And then from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I worked a part-time job.
Was this before you got into acting, or was this?
No.
So you were trying to do acting and all that
I was,
at the same time?
I was. I think we were on a break then. Mm-hmm. I think I was either in between shows, or maybe like a show had just started, or like a show had just ended. But I was currently at the time doing... I think it was anti-MAME at the time when we were doing it.
Okay. And that was, what number show was that you did?
Let's see. I've been acting for about 3 or 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I started off at Pill United Church of Christ in the Falls. It's actually a really funny story. I was dating the pastor's daughter at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there in service, and Sherry Schneider, you know Sherry.
Yeah.
She gets up on stage, and she asks, hey, does anybody want to come be in the show? We just need people in the background, minimal lines. It'll be fun. And I had no interest in doing it. I didn't think about doing it in high school. The last time I acted was in sixth grade in Christmas Carol, and I was a little turkey boy who ran up and went, it's Christmas Day, sir. And then he goes, well, do you know the turkey down the road? The one that's as, and I go, the one as big as me. And he goes, that one. He goes, take this money and go buy it. And that was all. That was my acting experience up until that point.
Okay.
But so, Sherry got up on stage and she asks, you just need people in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend nudges me and goes, we should do that. And I said, no. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up doing it anyways. And I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Antic, which is also based out of the Falls, which is the theater I went to next, foreshadowing, they were doing Alice in Wonderland. So a lot of the actors in Sherry's show were doing another show at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't able to show up for Sherry's practices because the Antic show was going to debut first. It was going to, the dates became before the other ones. Anyways, so I filled in for everybody and I did different voices and I did different characters.
You filled in for everybody.
I really did.
Yeah.
I really did because they just, nobody was able to make it to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a fun time that Mark Brown, who he's our bass player for Copper Pennies, he's one of my best friends
mm-hmm.
now. He invited me to come try out for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that was going to be done at Antic. And I went and tried out for it.
Was he was in Sherry's show too? Then?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was
the church show.
Actually, Denny was in it too. That's when I first met
our harmonica
I know.
Player. Was
but
Aaron in it?
Aaron was not in it.
Our lead singer.
So I went and tried out for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I got Jekyll.
Wow. So
I did.
You got like a lead in
I got the lead
second row.
In my second, third, if you count the Christmas Carol, Turkey Boy. But I got the lead in a show.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted us to do accents. I had speeches. I had, monologues and speeches are the same thing. But like I had a bunch of lines. And it was a sink or swim moment. And I'd like to think that I was able to swim through it and I've moved past it and I did a good job because I've been doing it since then and I love it. And mm-hmm. I've done, here, you count them out for me. I did Jekyll and Hyde, Father of the Bride, Princess Without a Name, Anti-Mame, 12 Angry Jurors, Little Women. I helped in Adam's Family. We did Tiny Tim's Christmas Carol. We just finished Anne Frank. And then this summer. Phantom of the Soap Opera. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
And then in the summer at Dynamics in Talmadge, I'm thinking about trying out for my first musical.
Wow.
So how many is that? That 10?
I don't know. It's more than 10. I lost count.
And in 3 years, I've done 10 shows.
Wow. That's more than I've done in my whole life.
Well,
I started earlier than you did.
I like doing it. And I don't just do acting. I like to work behind stage. And Dracula. That's another one I did. I had a tiny part. Actually, I played two different attendants who I died both. And it wasn't like the same person. It was two different characters. And I died with both of them. And one, I wore a wig so people wouldn't think I was the same person. But in that show, I built all the sets.
Yeah.
And I did that. And then in Adam's Family.
You built the sets in Dracula?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Gosh, I didn't even know that. That was recent.
I did.
That was last fall?
There was a coffin and the cage and the wall. I built all of it.
Hmm.
I work as a machinist. I'm good with my hands. I may not be the best, designer, whatever is the technical term, to actually come up with how stuff should look but I have an idea and I have an artistic idea and I know how to do it.
Oh, good.
And I just did it. And it ended up, I thought it worked out really well. The coffin, they still haven't taken the thing apart yet. I put it so well together.
I never saw the show. I'm sorry.
I know you
did. I never went and saw Dracula.
It's okay.
I don't remember why I didn't see it.
It was a good show. It was really fun. That was a good show. The best show, the best show that. Now, okay, so when people ask you what's your favorite show, and then people ask you which, I always like to ask people those two questions. What was your favorite theater show, and what one did you think you did the best in? Because those can be two different ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you asking me?
Yeah.
My favorite, I really liked Little Women.
Okay.
And the Addams Family. Gosh. I'd say Little Women was probably my favorite.
Now, which one did you think you did the best in?
Oh, gosh. I was really proud of the last show we did at Pilgrim United Church of Christ.
Okay.
The
mournful case of the cowboy.
Yeah. Like that. That was my first lead role ever, and that was really cool. I mean,
you were pretty good in it too.
Yeah, no, I was pretty proud of that.
Give us your southern accent.
All those lines. No.
Try it.
No.
Come on.
No, I memorized I memorized all those lines. There were a lot of lines. I never had to memorize that many lines.
Okay.
I'm sort of just talking myself up right now.
No, do it.
But yeah, I was pretty proud of myself in that.
Benjamin
in that
seems show. To be happy about it.
Good. No, he's laughing again. I don't know if he is. So Little Women, probably my favorite. I feel like the whole cast just we clicked pretty well. It was a small cast too, and I think that was one of the smallest casts I've been a part of, and my role was pretty good in it too. So yeah, okay. How about you then?
Favorite show, best show? So I think my favorite show was probably Jekyll and Hyde because it was my first. It was my whole family showed up for my opening night. My whole family. My cousin showed up. My uncle showed up, and he didn't fall asleep. So I was just happy my whole family showed up for that show, and I feel like that was my favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the show that I think I did the best in was – no, sorry, that's backwards. The show that I did the best in – wait, what did I say?
You said favorite and then the show you did the best in.
Okay, so the one I think I did the best in was 12 Angry Jurors.
Oh, yeah, I'm so jealous.
That's the one that our own Mark Brown actually directed.
Yeah.
And I played juror number 10. Who's this angry, racist bigot. I talk like this the whole time because I was supposed to be from Jersey or New York or something, and like
you were like an elderly man too, right?
Well, no, I played it as a younger person.
Oh, okay.
The role is typically played by an older man, yeah. older male, but I played it. Mark put me in that role, and I played it as a young, like, scumbag, dirtbag kid mm-hmm. who, like, just didn't know any better and would say all these horrible things. And it was probably my favorite role because I had people come up to me afterwards and say, I hated you in that show.
Same with me and Anne Frank.
You were a Nazi.
Yeah, that was...
you killed all of us.
Not me personally.
No.
Yeah, but like that's a good thing if you play a
and
role.
And people are like you're despicable.
Yeah, it means you did a good job. You played it well.
Isn't that like such an awesome but weird compliment?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I feel good about it.
Well, I think it's come to that time, good sir.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. Yeah, we've been going for what, like 40 minutes or so?
45 minutes. That's longer than our first episode.
I know. Already? Yeah.
We're moving up.
Moving on up. Before you go, go.
Yeah. If we increase in 5 minutes every episode, our 20th episode is going to be like 7 hours long.
Just keep talking about the same things over and over.
Yeah.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we want to again say thank you to all of you. Thank you. I mean, I don't know if we can call you fans yet. We can call you likes. We got a bunch of likes on Facebook. But we want to just say thank you to all of you, whether we're actual friends with you or if we know you. If you've just heard of us on iTunes or you've been passed along, if you heard about us on The Akronist or if another page has shared us or something, we just want to say thank you for listening mm-hmm. to us. And if you get a chance, you know, like, subscribe, comment on our Facebook page or the iTunes page or on our actual website. I think they can comment on the website.
Yeah, they can. Yeah.
And just let us know.
Your Facebook account.
Let us know what you think about the show. If there's anything you want us to do different or, again, like if there's any events you want to show us.
If we gave false information,
yeah,
I'm sure we did.
I'm sure we're going to do that every time.
Every single time.
We're going to need like a correction part at the beginning of
It'll
each episode about the last episode.
Right.
About stuff that we messed up.
But yeah, thanks a ton. But yeah, find us on Twitter and Instagram if you're on those at Spoils of Akron, spoilsofakron.podbean.com.
Ooh,
again.
And we have a hashtag too.
Oh yeah.
Hashtag so podcast.
So it's SOA podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So if you talk about us, on Facebook, you can still do hashtags there too. I know people don't use those so much, but yeah, throw that hashtag up there. It would help us get the word out about our podcast. Help us, you know, find people to talk to.
Yeah. We're looking to do some interviews coming up. We're thinking maybe we might try to have our first interview either next week or the week following. We still mm-hmm. need to talk with some people and maybe get some schedules down and get something actually written down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking to do some interviews with people also. So if you know any interesting artists or local theater people or anything like that, just let us know. Comedians. Oh, I'd love to talk to some comedians.
Yeah.
I would love to get some local comedians in
here. Yeah, then we'll definitely be like Pete Holmes.
Once again, we want to give a huge shout out to the Akron Digital Media Center for producing the show, and if anything, to Mr. Chris Miller, who is the editor-in-chief for the Akronist website. There we go. He's in the room with us, as always, producing the show and helping us run the soundboard and stuff. And we want to say thank you to our first live audience member, Mr. Benjamin Rexroad.
For providing the laugh track
when
we're not funny.
We're going to isolate that and just always play it in the background.
we'll double it up. And
yes.
It'll
so
be
it's
like a chorus of Benjamin Rexroad laughing.
But again, guys, thank you so much. And as always, have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Later.